CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, how do you like them apples? It's called Dynamite. CliffCentral.com. It's by BTS. It is a Monday morning and it is raining all across Gauteng this morning. I don't know about the rest of the country, but we will no doubt eventually get back to summer once all this rain has come and gone. Someone asked this morning, and I don't know the answer, and if you do, maybe you can help us, but what are the dams looking like this morning? Because we've had quite a lot of rain over the last few days. So I know they were talking about how, you know, the Vaal Dam was looking very low a little while ago. I wonder if it's picked up, if those levels are significantly higher this morning. If you know anything about that stuff, or if you've been to the Vaal recently, the Vaal Dam, and you could tell us what you see, I'd love to hear from you. Because, you know, this obviously if there's all this rain, it has to go somewhere, right? And our dams and rivers fill up.
So the Vaal Dam,
yes,
is at 36.3%.
Is that all?
Yeah, this was last updated on the 19th of November.
Four days ago.
That's the lowest of the five that I have here. The Bloemhof Dam is at 81%. Grootdraai Dam is at 83.2%. And Sterkfontein Dam is at 94.98%.
Well, okay. I mean, Clint from the Vaal should be able to help us, says Bob. But
only 36%.
I know, it feels low, right? Yeah. Tony said, if your episode of Blind History this week doesn't have Boney M's Rasputin as its theme song, it's a missed opportunity. I think I started the episode by going, rah, rah, Rasputin, lover of the Russian queen. Yeah, so there we go. All right. This is an interesting story. I mean, we're always talking about how these people, this is the job to land your ass in the butter with. I mean, we were just saying in the news how the ANC has come to the conclusion that they can't force anyone to resign if they've caught them doing something wrong. They have to voluntarily step down, right, or step aside. So apparently there was someone at the PIC, the Public Investment Corporation, who has earned 11 million rand over 20 months for no work. They've basically been on gardening leave. They've been sitting at home.
Must be nice.
Sitting at home for 20 months and they've earned 11 million rand because they were suspended. You see, this to me, I mean, how do I not get that job? I'd be so good at doing nothing for 20 months and earning 11 million rand. Are you joking?
I don't know how this happens.
Do you think, I don't know, do you even feel bad about something like that? So for some context, this is what was confirmed this past Friday. The PIC confirmed it. So the Public Investment Corporation's chief financial officer, her name is Matsepo More, and they confirmed that she remains suspended, but on full pay. And she was suspended more than 20 months ago following charges of irregularities related to a deal. So 20 months later, we now know that she's still earning her full freaking salary, which has amounted to more than 11 million rands. So 20 months is what, close to 2 years.
It's madness.
She's sitting at home and all of this is happening.
It's madness.
Oh, my word.
How is this a thing?
When did we become the country that not only allowed people to steal wantonly, but also rewarded them for that? When you're suspended, you just keep being paid. I think if you're suspended, you should not be paid. There's a reason they're suspending you. Of course, they can always fix that afterwards. Let's say that, you know, they do the investigations and it goes to court or whatever, and they discover that you did nothing wrong. Then they can pay you after that. But I think there are a lot of people who are sitting on this going, I think it's better to be suspended and not have to work than to, you know, be accused wrongfully. It makes more sense to be suspended, sit at home, do nothing, get paid.
Yeah, this Matsepo earns an annual salary of 6.8 million rands. And that roughly comes up to 575,000 rands a month. Now, what wasn't confirmed?
575,000 rand a month.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know anyone who earns that kind of money a month.
What wasn't confirmed on Friday, and the verdicts are still out here, is whether or not her incentives and what is deemed other payments are still being paid out while she's suspended.
Oh, my word. Well, she can do without those.
Who knows?
She's probably getting those as well. Monwabisi says, Gareth, this is not a uniquely South African problem. It happens everywhere. It's just this story that's being reported. But if this is an example, because I'm not reading the news every day. In fact, I didn't even watch the news all weekend, so I don't know what's going on in the world this morning. Frankly, if it wasn't for, you know, the conversations that we're all having, I would be uninformed. But this is outrageous, and this is just an isolated example, Monwabisi, so I don't know what to make of it. Woody says, I'm more qualified than you, Gareth, to do nothing, so I think I should get that job. Lee says, geez, that's what I earn in a year, let alone a month. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling you. Tabo says, Cliff Central crew, thank you for waking up every day for this. It really is what we look forward to when we wake up. Wow, thanks, Tabo. That's nice to hear. Huh. Isn't that nice? Didn't expect to hear something so nice from Tabo this morning.
Really nice.
Yeah, isn't it very special? I don't know. Let's just leave this alone. I'd rather win the lottery, frankly, because the lottery, at least you could say, well, I got that. It's justifiably mine. But if you are suspended, I mean, what happens if you are investigated and they do find that you are guilty of whatever you've been suspended for? Do you then have to pay back that money?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure you don't just get to keep it, right? Because then I'll feel a bit better about it if that's the case.
I think she was just paid.
She just gets to keep it regardless? Sharon said,
if she was working, she still would have been paid that amount of money regardless.
So Sharon said, and Leanne, maybe you can look this up for us. I woke up late, so I missed the beginning of the show, but did you hear or see what happened in Denmark over the weekend? And then I followed the link that Sharon sent to a video. It's from a French news agency about protests in Denmark. Do you know anything about this? Massive, massive protests. I think they're anti-lockdown protests. I think it's people who've just had enough of being told what to do by their government. Do you know anything about this? Have you got some stories?
I've got such weird leads off of Googling this. Something about Denmark's mink farmers protesting amidst COVID. Danish farmers, they're protesting against government's mink slaughter policy. I don't know if it's that.
I don't know.
Then there are also protests against moving refugees. There's a Black Lives Matters activist protest in there as well.
Are these all happening in Denmark? They've got a lot of protests going on.
Yeah.
Wow.
So okay. I'm not sure which one is exactly the one that she's referring to.
People in Denmark are busy.
Do you know, mink, talking about that, isn't that just such an 80s way of showing
wealth?
You have money if you buy like fur?
A mink coat. I think that it's kind of looked down on now. I mean, if you have an old mink coat from the days when they were legal, I suppose that's quite something to have because it's almost like owning a piece of history. They're not going to be making more of those. Because these days there are obviously still people who are farming mink and they're using, you know, they're farming them for their coats. And how's that any different to farming beef cattle, for example? Why do we have two different standards of cruelty here? We always go, oh, well, it's so cruel to farm mink and then to take their coats. It's not like they pull the coat off of the thing while it's alive. They kill it just like you would a cow or a sheep. And we eat that meat. We go to the supermarket. Nobody's standing outside the supermarket protesting all the meat in the supermarket, right?
There must be, I don't know enough about it, but there must be something that's okay.
But for better or worse, if you have an old mink coat, then hold on to it because it's probably really valuable now. But these days, people don't want to be seen wearing fur. It carries with it all kinds of social opprobrium, and I suppose many people just don't want to be seen as being unkind and uncaring, and you know, I've got a mink coat and screw you.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's popular.
You might as well, if that is still your definition or standard of having money, then you might as well also still be driving around in a limousine.
There are people who do that.
So.
There are people who do that stuff. Yeah.
Such an old way of flaunting. Yeah.
Janet says, this past weekend I got to choose what movies I'd be watching. I opted for classic comedies. Of course, Joe Dirt was on the list because we spoke about that movie the other day. And I watched Eurotrip and finally Evolution. I'm starting to think we need to fill the water cannons with Head and Shoulders in future. Because people are dirty? I'm not sure I understand that. Anyway, Janet, full of movie ideas for the last weekend. And Tabo says, hey guys, do you know anything about the former PA of Ace Magashule, who's denying that she turned state witness? This will not bode well for the Hawks. I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure what's happened there. Carl says, all I can say is, thank God my Minky van der Vestazen wasn't born in Denmark. And Jack says it's the same as hunting whales for food. Japan has no space and harvest the seas. And you know, we have an issue about mink, for example, but we don't seem to care about the way we're overfishing the oceans. So I suppose
that's
true.
Maybe it's around how it's done.
I think humans are such, we're just such hypocrites. Like, we'll decide one animal, it's fine for us to just farm that animal and kill it for meat. And for other animals, no, we can't possibly just, you know, kill them for their fur coats. That would be so cruel.
Okay, I think it might be this protest, although it seems like a bit of an older story from November the 17th, that a Danish law that would have allowed health authorities to forcibly inject people with a COVID-19 vaccine has reportedly been abandoned after more than a week of public protests.
I think that's
it would have
one.
Been the proposed epidemic law.
Would you go for a vaccine? If
I would voluntarily. Were going to put it into force, I would go anyway.
See, I always think you should have the options, and I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but I don't like the idea of governments all over the world just deciding to inject people willy-nilly with things. Like, for example, when you're a child, you get the polio vaccine. And, you know, it's important that we keep those up because clearly the threat to public health is so great that it's necessary for everyone to have the vaccine so that we have a complete immunity to it. But I don't like the idea of forced vaccinations. As, you know, Monabisi says, it feels like Nazi Germany when you hear the words forced vaccinations. I think
forced anything
is just not good. But I think most people would want to, if they haven't already had the COVID, would probably want to go and get it so they can just get on with their lives.
Yeah.
I'm still not one of those people.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been for a test. Have you had a COVID test?
No, but did I tell you that I was traced on that app?
Uh-oh.
The government
app. Oh, because you were around someone who...
What happened?
Yeah, I was... I received a notification that on the 15th of November, I was in close contact with someone who had tested positive for COVID. And that I should self-quarantine for 10 days.
Jesus.
You know, I know this app means well, but also close contact might mean you were at the grocery store or
that's where it happened.
Your mask and whatnot, and they were three aisles down. It doesn't mean you had your mouth open and someone coughed into you.
But also, my whole argument is, firstly, how many people have a smartphone in South Africa? Secondly, how many people with smartphones did download the app? I've been exposed to way many more people who are positive than this app is telling me.
I think that app's a total waste of time. I mean...
And it could be someone playing the fool as well, or trying to create panic by saying that they're positive.
Like, looking back now and thinking, and I was nervous about COVID that first week or two. I remember I was all ready to hunker down and, you know, not see anybody for a couple of days. And because I remember the president said 2 weeks, we're going to go into this lockdown for 2 weeks so we can flatten the curve. I mean, everybody forgets all of this because now it's convenient to think about it with the benefit of hindsight. But at the time, I was kind of worried. Well, that very quickly went away. And ever since then, I've seen less and less evidence to be afraid of this disease and to overreact to it. And I do believe that when humans look back on this time, they'll think we were all crazy. They won't. They'll say, what a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, in Africa, certainly, and I don't know if it's just the way we've responded. So we responded so quickly and we had a bit of warning time before it got to us. But I think people in Europe and America might feel differently if you look at the amount of deaths, if those numbers are true.
Well, Nikita says there's a lot of logistics issues around the vaccines. So this idea of compulsory vaccinations might be a moot point, considering most countries won't be able to get enough doses anyway. So there will be selective vaccination for the most at risk, i.e. the healthcare workers. Yeah, I mean, maybe that makes sense then, is to give the vaccine first to the healthcare workers because they're on the front lines. Lee says, my company is making us work from home until March. However, I heard we won't be allowed back into our offices until a vaccine is available. Sure. And here's a good story. Mr. Schmangles says, the weekend was off the hook for 2 days. I got into bed drunk and woke up hungover, and I just started drinking again. I feel like dried biltong right now. Mm-mm. From what I can remember, the weekend was awesome. Cheers to a new week. Wow. What a way to start your week. Totally hungover, Mr. Schmangles.
From what you can remember. Got it.
Yeah, sure. I'm kind of... This weather makes me want to curl up in bed.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
This weather...
It's very hard to work from home productively in this weather.
Yeah, look, I get productive. I mean, the weather is conducive to productivity, but more in the office than if you're in bed. If you're in bed, you're just going to fall asleep and wake up and fall asleep and wake up and have those daydreams, and you're going to hear the rain in your window pane. You know, it's totally impossible to not fall into that very lazy space where you just kind of get nothing done. I had such an unproductive day on Friday. So unproductive. I mean, I managed to... Yeah, Sian, you and I had a meeting. I managed to write some stuff for the TV show. But I felt like the rest of the day I'd really achieved very little. I had plans, big plans, to go and get things done on Friday, and none of them materialized. So I felt like a bit of a loser.
I just had this flash of imagination, or like a vision of lying in bed in this weather and your partner brings you hot chocolate and like a freshly baked cinnamon bun.
Well, Leanne, there's a lot of things.
That would be really nice.
There are a lot of things wrong with this with this fantasy of yours. Number one, there isn't a significant other for you. Number two, a cinnamon bun is, I don't even know, where would you get that? Do they make them this time of year?
They've made them themselves.
Oh, okay. Oh, you mean they've actually made it? Okay, great.
They bake them, yes.
Oh, all right.
It her that dream. Nice.
And then wake you up
it's
with
my little fantasy for the morning.
Sure. I mean, that's a great fantasy. Please. Except that there's just no way that this is going to happen today. So you'll have to make your own cinnamon bun.
Maybe I'll do that. And then I'll come in the other entrance and pretend I didn't know that they were even baking.
Bob says,
so sad.
Bob says, did you hear about that wealthy socialite who died in Zim 2 weeks ago? He had like 681,000 followers on Instagram, and his only claim to fame was that he was grotesquely rich. He had a whole range of expensive cars on Instagram, and it's filled with photos of him flaunting his wealth. He died when his Rolls Royce collided with a Honda at 5 a.m. on Sunday morning after he'd been drinking and partying all night. The Honda was okay, but the Rolls Royce blew up. I'm always surprised when I see wealthy people who openly flaunt their wealth and people who adore them for just being wealthy. What happened to modesty? Yeah, but there's a lot of... I mean, we did a show about this where I had Kenny Kunene on TV, and he was saying that he feels that it's inspiring for people to see someone really, really rich. I'm kind of where you are, Bob. I think there's nothing more revolting than someone who shows off their wealth. That's flashy about it, you know. It's revolting.
But I think a tiny part of why rich people are popular is that there's something in all of us that wants that. So to see it is either intriguing to us or inspiring to others. Why have we had so many shows about it? Lifestyles of the rich and famous. We're fascinated by Forbes lists. And, you know, otherwise then Warren Buffett would just be a normal bloke. But we want to know, and it's so fascinating.
Yeah, but Warren Buffett
has all of this money, but he doesn't even spend it.
Yeah, Warren Buffett's he's an example of like the weird part of that, because he's just, you know, he's got all this money, but he doesn't spend any of it on himself, and he's just he's leading exactly the same life that he would have led if he was on a very average salary. And I think that's kind of that makes him all the more remarkable. So, Leanne, I got this message from somebody. How is it that people can still be so misinformed about COVID at this stage? You go and see the Panda website. And remember, we've had Nick from Panda on the show a couple of times. And you can at least make an informed decision if you go and read that stuff. Because a lot of the things that people are still trotting out there as fact have been completely debunked. And if you still think COVID is dangerous, if you still think it's the most terrible thing in the world and it's killing millions and millions of people, you just need to go and look at the actual numbers. And Panda have done a very good job of putting it all together and making sense of it. So go and check their website. We'll put a link to it on the description when you listen to the podcast. Okay, Tracy sent a very long message here, but I'll give you the gist of it. She says, I had to have a COVID test because they sent me home on Monday. I had three of the symptoms checked and my temperature was 37. I was in a state because of the issues going on. One, headache. Two, fatigue. Three, muscle pain. And that's from disc degeneration on my neck. So I have a pinched spinal nerve. I was escorted off the property by security like a criminal, and I can't go back to work until they clear me. I found my test results on the Ampath app. But besides that, nobody's contacted me. The result is so ambiguous. Half the companies don't know how to deal with anything. Well, this is the other problem, is you don't know when you go for these tests, because if you went for three different tests on three different days, you'd get three different results. And nobody really knows whether these tests are accurate or not. There are lots of false positives. You know, the tests themselves are extremely finicky. We had the president of Tanzania who tested a goat and a mango, and they came out COVID positive. So it's all bullshit.
Oh,
really,
gosh.
It's just bullshit. In a little while, we're going to be talking to someone called Davina Gordon. She's a violinist, and she has been, I mean, this is amazing. She's been sharing the stage with Kanye West. She's been booked left, right, and center for campaigns. Her social media following has gone through the roof. She's covered Fleetwood Mac, Billie Eilish, and we're going to get to speak to her in a little while about being a violinist. I spoke to my little nephew who's going into grade one next year, and he's very excited. He got his uniform and all of that stuff. And one of the things they do at their school, which I think is just fantastic, is that you have to learn to play an instrument. And so you can choose. You can play the piano, you can play the drums, or you can play the violin or whatever it is. And he's
the triangle, if you really have to do something.
If you're really, if you're really bad at everything, then you can learn to play the triangle. They always give the triangle to the kid with the least musical talent, right? Look, see,
yeah, because there's only one ping every now and then.
Sia's pulling a face because you had the triangle, didn't you, Sia?
I probably would have if I was that person.
Yeah, so he's going to have to...
one, two, three.
Ping,
one,
ping.
Two.
Yeah. So if he does, you know, obviously he's going to have to learn to play an instrument. He hasn't chosen yet, but I think he's probably going to choose drums and drive his parents crazy. It's hard to learn to play the drums.
Risky.
The noise, exactly. You know, everybody's... Everybody's worst fear is that they'll end up living in a very tight place, like a complex or whatever, right next to a drummer.
Yeah. That or the name has skipped my mind completely. The Scottish instrument, bagpipes. Can you imagine that?
That Scottish instrument. Do you know of anyone who says gist instead of gist when they mean essence? Gist, gist. Just. I'm not sure what you mean here, Carl. I immediately write them off and think they're subhuman. Is that unfair?
Maybe they say just instead of just.
I don't know. Zandisile says, Leanne is such a conformist. Why would anyone download a government app?
I do these things.
Well, she paid her e-tolls.
Yes, I was actually going to make that example. This is our dearest Leanne.
Leanne pays her e-tolls, for God's sake. What a waste.
I like to conform.
So stupid. Dr. Robin. Sorry, Leanne. Dr. Robin says, educate yourself as you see fit. COVID is filling our hospitals in the Eastern Cape again, and we're struggling to manage all the sick people. Damn it, slow down on the spread. Give us a chance to look after you and your family members.
Yeah, it's crazy down there at the moment.
Is it? I don't know. I mean, I say that because hospitals, that's what they're there for. When the hospitals, I mean, if a hospital's empty, then we're paying for it to be empty. I don't know. The whole thing is just crazy. And you don't need to go to hospital if you've got COVID unless you've got serious, serious symptoms. Otherwise, stay out of the hospitals. I mean, if you've basically got cold or flu symptoms, which is mostly what COVID gives people, muscle aches, headaches, whatever, stay at home. Going to the hospital, you know, spread it even more and make it worse.
I'm sure the hospitals have those measures in place anyway.
Yeah, I have seen a couple of people who've been reporting on how busy the hospitals are in the Eastern Cape and in places like George and Knysna. So that is definitely happening. I'm not saying that's not happening, but I don't know that you need to go to hospital when you've been diagnosed with COVID. Usually you could just stay at home, especially if you don't have any other comorbidities. You know, stay out of everyone's way. All right, we're going to talk to Davina in a moment or two. Is there anything else you want to throw in quickly, Leanne or Sia? Anything on your minds?
No.
No, Sia, you're good. I'm good.
I want to talk a little bit about DNA testing in South Africa, but it's a longer story, so maybe we save it for later.
All right. Let me play you this quickly because this will give you an idea of what Davina does, just so that you know when you hear her come on just now. It's really cool. So here she is playing the... How's that, huh? It's nice. There's the violin.
Hardly someone, you know, very serious and together and whatnot.
You can follow her, by the way. Her YouTube channel is Davina Mae Gordon, M-A-E. And you can follow her on there if you want to know what she's up to. But she's joining us right now. Hey, Davina, what's up?
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Nice and early on a Monday morning.
It's a bit too early for Monday, but here we are.
So,
can you guys see me?
No. Switch on your camera over there in the top left. We can hear you, but we can't see you. Almost. There we go.
There we go.
Nice. All right. Well, listen, those days where people played classical instruments and they were seen as being uptight or boring or serious or any of those things, those days are over because classical instruments are now, they're cool again.
I'm trying to make it cool again.
No, you're doing a great job of doing that. So tell us quickly how you got into it and why the violin, and then we can talk a little bit about your career so far, because it sounds to me like it's just starting to get interesting.
Sure. Okay. Where do I start? Right from the beginning. I started playing the violin when I was about 7 or 8 years old.
Yeah.
And it came about when I was attending a concert at my sister's high school. I was, obviously a little one. And there was a string quartet performing, and I was immediately just drawn to the violin. And on the way back home, I could not shut up about the violin and how much I wanted to learn how to play it. So my mom just took that opportunity and started, researching for lessons in the area that we lived in. And then it kind of just stuck, and I never gave up since. And it was almost fate, because we had this violin in our family that belonged to my great-grandfather that he bought at an auction, and never learned how to play it. So it kind of just stayed in the family generation after generation. And when I just continued, it was, you're going to play that violin, you know, that belonged to my great-grandfather.
How awesome, though, that you had a violin lying around. I mean, that's unbelievable, because most people...
Well, the thing is, I didn't even know that there was a violin laying around, you know. So it was kind of just, I don't know, serendipity, I guess.
Yeah, it must have been.
That it had to happen.
That's pretty spectacular.
And I still play on that violin today, so...
You play the same one, huh?
Yeah. Beautiful. And it's, you know, it's a family heirloom, so... My mom has given me warnings that if I were to ever lose it, I should just never come back home. Oh. It's over. Yeah.
So listen, you have performed with the Johannesburg Festival Orchestra, the Johannesburg Philharmonic Orchestra. You graduated from the South African College of Music and the University of Cape Town's College of Music, that is. And you've been a regular performer with the Cape Town Pops Orchestra. You've shared the stage with Kanye West. When did that happen?
In 2006, when I was still studying.
Yeah.
And I actually bought tickets to go to the concert because, you know, when I was still a fan of Kanye when he wasn't crazy.
Sure.
And I booked a Golden Circle tickets, and I just got a phone call from a friend asking what I was doing on the specific date. And I said, no, I can't. I'm going to the Kanye concert. I can't work, you know. And then his next line was, well, how would you like to be in the concert with Kanye?
Jeez.
And then I blacked out for 2 seconds. So that was a really surreal experience, especially because the first time we saw him was the first time everyone saw him, because he didn't come to the rehearsal. So it was kind of, I am sitting playing and he's a few feet away from me.
That's amazing.
It's very cool. Yeah.
Which song was it that you guys were involved in? Do you remember?
Oh, God, it was so many. We did Gold Digger. We did Touch the Sky, definitely.
Okay.
Those are the two strong ones that I remembered, but there were many others as well. That's such awesome. A long time ago, I can't even remember.
That's really cool. And you also teach other people how to play the violin.
Yes, I teach at a primary school in Johannesburg, so mainly primary school level.
Mm-hmm.
This year was a bit challenging with my beginners because, of course, we had to do lots of online lessons, and there was no sort of one-on-one sort of teaching, which with the violin is very difficult to do because it's very hands-on instrument, and, you know, you've got to show kids how to place their fingers down, and doing that online was very, very challenging, but... We adapted, you know, and kind of learned to just go with it at the end of the day.
Such a beautiful instrument. I mean, we know that, you know, it's actually a piece of investment art more than anything else. And many people who own violins don't play them. And some of the most expensive violins in the world are not actually owned by musicians, but they're loaned to those musicians to play.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some.
Really? Yeah.
You've got to hear these stories.
I know Joshua Bell also plays. I think it's Stradivarius, but it's owned by, who is it owned by? I don't remember, but he doesn't like physically own it. It's just on loan, you know, and it's worth so much money. So he literally just has to guard that thing with his life, you know.
What gets the value so high?
Well, it's a very special, it's a special make of instrument. You tell him, you're more informed than I am.
Well, it is a special make. I think it's like one of the founding... they call them luthiers, you know, people who make violins.
Mm-hmm.
And so because it's been around for centuries, quite literally, it's just the value of the instrument just is so high. Mm-hmm. And because there are only a certain amount of those instruments that exist in the world, you know, it's that makes it even more rare and more the value more high.
Sounds so classy, luthiers.
It does.
And what is the brand of violin?
It's quite a thing, though, because the instrument that my great-grandfather had bought at auction is a copy of a Guarnerius. So I just want to know the backstory, you know, how did it land up here in South Africa, wherever it came from, you know. So I feel like it's got a lot of stories to tell, that instrument.
So apparently with a Stradivarius, and I mean, what these must be somewhere around the 17th or 18th century, right? So they're old, and some of these are still in perfect, beautiful working order. But the quality of the sound of a Stradivarius is supposedly so much better than anything else. And the actual, what was his name? There was a whole family, right, of these people. But Antonio Stradivari, and he's the guy who made the first one. And Sia, they use different kinds of wood when they make these instruments. It's absolutely phenomenal process, and they've been doing it.
And the wood, I think, influences the type of sound
definitely
that it produces.
Definitely.
Ah. So there are all these factors, you know, the type of wood, how the wood is cut. You get instruments that the back is either split, so you have two halves that cover the back, or you have a full back, which is very rare to see. I have a full back, actually.
That's amazing.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
I think then the violins are the seers of instruments. Yeah. Like they are the ones that look down on other instruments like, oh, you were made in a factory?
Absolutely.
He's got such an opinion of himself. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It sounds very posh.
All right, so what else have you got coming up? Because this year has obviously made it very, very difficult for people to be, you know, busy with concerts inside an orchestra, for example. I mean, none of the normal stuff has been happening. So have you had some gigs?
Yeah, I left the orchestra a while ago because I just got to a point where I felt, is this it for the next 20 years of my life? You know, I feel like I can do something different. I can contribute towards bringing a new crowd into the orchestra space or the classical music space. And that's when my partner, Donovan Goliath, was, telling me that, how about you do hip-hop covers or contemporary music on an electric violin? And that might make it cool again, you know. So that I've been doing for about 2 years now, and I'm actually releasing my first EP the first week of December.
Wow!
I've collaborated with really well known hip hop producers in Johannesburg called Ganja Beats,
excellent.
And they basically supplied tracks, and I've created melody lines, solo melodies on each of them, and I'm very excited and nervous at the same time because I'm totally out of my comfort zone. You know, when you're classically trained, you are taught to just read what's in front of you, and I've had a chance to just be completely liberal with my playing, which I've never had to do before, let alone release an EP, you know. So I'm really, really excited about that. It's only 5 tracks, but it's been a long process. I was actually supposed to do a launch in May, and then lockdown happened. So that I had to kind of put that on hold. But then lockdown also gave my partner and I a lot of time to just create content at home because we knew that there were no stages to perform on. And we were probably not going to get on a stage for a very long time. And a lot of the stuff that we put out got major traction, and we were asked to be a part of many very cool campaigns. So it's been an interesting learning experience for me, you know, about to act, you know, and do kind of public speaking. And that's also totally out of my comfort zone. But I feel like I've grown quite a lot during this time. So it's been a good, fortunately for me, it's been a very good experience.
That's awesome.
That's happening. And then I'm also doing my first live performance this weekend, in fact.
Oh, yeah?
The first one in 9 months. Can you believe it?
So what is it? Tell us.
It's a VW event. They're launching their new T-Rock.
Oh, yeah?
So it's basically a 3-day event that's taking place at Narrows Arch, and it's live entertainment, music, there's food, there's giant installations, and just a whole lot more. And it's very cool. People can register online for tickets. So the tickets are actually free. You just have to register for it. And I think it's to the value of 450. That's pretty cool.
Sounds awesome.
So that's happening this weekend, 27th through the 29th.
Fantastic. Awesome stuff. Well, listen, Davina, it's nice to speak to you, and tell Donovan we say hello.
We will.
Gareth, you might want to read the message from Carl.
What does Carl say? Let me just read this. Hang on. Coincidentally, I spent yesterday playing violin videos on YouTube for our 4-year-old daughter. Is that too young to start? She loved it, and I want to buy her one for Christmas.
Oh, it depends. I personally like starting kids off when they're about 8.
Okay.
Just because the way they grasp instructions are, they just understand it a lot quicker than if they were 3 or 4, you know. Attention span is also very difficult when they're that small.
They don't concentrate at 4. You can't teach them anything in 4.
No. No, I mean, you do get some cases where kids start at 4, but then it's like, prodigy vibes. Yeah.
But every parent wishes their child is like a master.
Comfortably, I would say 8. Yeah, 8 or 9.
So besides your YouTube channel, Nikita wants to know, is there anywhere else we can download your music? And when will your EP be available for those of us who live in Australia, for example?
Okay, so I post a lot of my videos, like fun covers and stuff, on Instagram. Mm-hmm. My handle is Davina May Gordon, DAVINAMAEGRDON. And then my EP drops the 4th of December, so the first Friday of December. And,
good on all stuff. Platforms, All right, well, lovely to see you, and we will chat to you again soon. Thanks for giving us a little update there and inspiring us this morning.
Thanks for the time. Thanks for inviting me.
No problem. Thanks, Davina. Cool.
Okay.
Isn't she cool?
Bye.
Cheers. Isn't that nice? Can you play any instruments?
Yeah. Oh, no.
I'm classically trained in piano.
Really, Leanne Moll?
What? Yes, I started... I must have also been around 8 when I started. Mm-hmm. And I... studied through the Trinity College of London.
Wow.
And I
don't know why I just sat up as soon as I heard that.
I would have my exams every year, both theory and practical. Mm-hmm. And in practical, I got to grade 5.
Wow.
And I had another 2 to go before I could get my teachers. Huh. But then matric happened, and that kind of put me off for a little bit. And I never went back to it, unfortunately.
Would you still rate your fingering? I mean, do you think your fingering is really good?
I've completely lost it. I need to get back into it. My mom bought a piano because you two. How old are you, honestly?
I'm asking you very specifically about your fingering.
Why can I not say that I play the piano and it's not, and it doesn't make you laugh?
I'm not mature enough for this conversation. I'm not.
So hang on, your mum has a piano or had a piano?
I used to have a baby grand. That's what I grew up playing.
Jesus, wow, that's amazing.
And then when my parents moved and I moved out and got married, they sold that. But she recently bought a piano for my dad and I to tinker on, because my dad plays as well. Mm-hmm. But I need time with the piano myself when no one's listening, because I need to try and get back into it again. I don't want to sound like I'm this super pro or whatever. Mm. But it would affect me if I knew I was playing badly and people were listening.
Do you find that when you are practicing your fingering, that it's important for you to do that when no one's looking as well?
There is nothing called fingering in playing the piano.
I think there is, I'll tell you that.
No, like the way you place your hands, the way you actually, you know. Mm. Is it not called that, Leanne?
No, it's not. It's hand placement.
Okay.
That School of London did not teach you properly. Gareth, did you ever play anything, any instrument?
I can play very rudimentary piano, but I can't read music. So I'm nowhere near Leanne's level. Nowhere near. I mean, I could play some things by ear if I sat and worked them out long enough. And I used to love it. I mean, I would play, I don't know, once or twice a week, but only for fun. And I would never call myself a pianist at all. So Woody says, Sia can learn to play the string instruments, especially the hamstrings. How's your legs, Sia? How are your hamstrings?
It's better now, yeah. Every now and then there's something, a little pull that I feel. But for now, it's just know that if you Google any sort of an ad for those creams or those patches, and you see how the people are on those ads, that's me. There's this one particular one, and once again, this is when you know Big Brother's always watching, because now I see those ads
all
when
the time,
I go to
right?
YouTube.
Yeah.
Mm. There's one particular ad where this woman is just going about her day, but she's reminded of the pain. So she's bending over in the kitchen and she goes, ah!
Yes.
That's
me. Are they those don't get stuck in pain ones?
Yes, that is honestly me. I think I'm over it. And
oh,
just,
God.
And then it catches you.
I go up some stairs and I'm reminded.
Well,
it,
you see, this is how you know you're old is when you and your friends and the material that you're watching on the internet is all to do with aches and pains.
No, you would have been, I think so many people would be annoyed by the conversation my mother and I were having. We were bitching at one point because she was in town to get a check on her pinched nerve with the doctor here.
So you and your mom were comparing physical ailments.
Honestly, we had a whole long time of how her pinched nerve feels and then goes down her spine, then about how I feel. And then
No, I had one of those on Saturday. I saw a friend of mine. She was telling me, oh, she's got the chiropractor this week and she's, you know, fallen off the horse a couple of times, so that's why she's got a sore back. And I honestly had this conversation with her for like 10 minutes, and it was hilarious. And I said to her, you know, when we start having conversations this long about our physical well-being, then you must know it's definitely old age.
It's a slippery slope.
Yeah. Tracy says... Go on.
I'm the oldest by 6 years in my family of cousins and siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And 6 years is quite a lot when they're 34 and you're 40. Or they're like 36 and you're 42. Mm-hmm. So when I started doing things like if I stood up, I'd go, oh, God, my back or my knee. They'd all laugh at me and call me old. But now it's happening to them. I'm watching it. They get up and they're like, oh, every joint in my body's sore. I'm getting arthritis in my fingers.
But Leanne,
it's very satisfying. Guys.
That's the funniest thing is when people aren't even aware of the fact that they make these noises. Mm-mm. Like every time you get up.
Or even when you sit down and it's, oh, like you'd swear you'd been standing for 4 hours.
No.
All right. Well,
you know, one of the things I watched over this weekend was the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air taped a reunion episode. So it's been 30 years since the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air first.
Are they all still alive?
Everyone except the one guy, James Avery, he's Uncle Phil.
Oh, he died.
And to see them all, I'm like, actually, I shouldn't have watched this now because it's not the same age, man.
I saw it as well and I felt the same way. And that house still exists and it's like a museum.
Well, they're Airbnb-ing it, I mean, of course, to make money at any point.
But it's got all memorabilia and sneakers and
so amazing. Tracy says that she played the recorder, you know, it's like a flute. She said she played that thing at primary school. It is such a horrible sounding instrument that my mom made me practice in the car in the garage. Jesus, that's bad.
It has a distinct pitch.
Yeah.
That's a little annoying.
Yes. That is not something to play. Isn't that also the instrument that we used for your news music, Leanne?
Quite possibly, yes.
And we would have those disgusting versions of, I think, the 20th Century Fox theme. And then it's the greatest.
No, you guys, I know you guys won't believe me with this, but this is the closest I have to my claim to fame with music. Once upon a time, there was a little boy named Sia who auditioned for the Drakensberg Boys Choir School. And I technically made it in.
No, you didn't.
I didn't go to the school, but I was accepted for my test.
Absolutely. You were not accepted for your voice.
I really was.
You lie. It's no way.
Nothing's changed.
Was everyone?
Yeah, I knew no one would believe me.
Of course that's a lie. Was everyone at the school deaf that year?
No, but I believe him.
Oh, bullshit. I call bullshit on this.
They would have regretted it now.
Bullshit.
You know? No, they could have trained my voice.
Oh, you please.
You can't. I sounded like an angel.
You can't polish a turd.
You know, the choir conductor was there with his fingering on the piano.
Oh, right. Okay.
I sang a few things.
There's a lot of fingering, yeah.
Said, beautiful. You've made it.
Yeah, sure. Did you sing?
Yes.
What did you sing?
I can't even
see
remember.
See, you're lying. I'm telling you, Sia's convinced. Sia has had this dream that he was going to be accepted by the Drakensberg Boys Choir or whatever. And now he's made it up in his head. The only person I know who was at that school.
I believe you, Sia.
The only person there was Loyiso Bala. He went to the Drakensberg Boys Choir.
I don't know how I would prove it to you guys.
You can't.
Except for my voice. No.
You've made it up. And Sia, we've heard you sing on the show, and it's disgusting. It's like a noise. It's like torture that animals are put through.
It's like
through.
A foghorn.
Yeah.
What are you saying? Is it like the recorder? Do you want to banish me to the garage as well?
Yeah. In fact, you should only be allowed to sing during times of national disaster and when everyone else can't hear.
Oh, please. But yeah, that was my closest brush. With some music.
Mm. Good story.
Leanne, what's your favorite?
I mean, I believe it.
I don't believe it for a second. What's your favorite old people noise? Get up for me quickly and make an old person noise.
Oh, no, I like the old person clearing their throat noise.
Go with that.
Which is.
Wait, let me
like
see.
Like an old car
sometimes
starting.
It's like just go.
Sometimes you don't need
a whole thing.
Sometimes you don't even need to make a loud noise, but most people don't even hear themselves going as they get up, for example.
Yeah.
My aunt does it. Everything she does, she's.
So great.
And then we walk behind her and we go.
Please promise me. Okay. Promise me you will tell me if I start making those old people noises.
We won't tell you because we're all getting there, so we won't hold it against you.
We're all
you.
In the same boat.
No, I need to know that I need to be aware of it so I don't do it because it's so irritating. It's nothing worse. Like my dad also makes those noises. I'll be walking behind him and he'll go. It's the worst.
We can now hear when my parents are awake in the morning based on all of their old people noises. And I mean, from their bedroom with their door closed, but you can now tell, okay, they're awake now. It's
like, no. Old people noises, the worst.
Growing up is shitty, man.
It's so horrible.
It is. It's so
horrible.
Is. We'll be okay. We're in it together.
No, I don't. I don't like this. This is another reason why I'm going to be single forever. I don't want anyone to have to put up with my old people noises. I feel so inconsiderate. I don't want to beleaguer anyone with my old people sounds. I think I'll just steer clear. Oh, I've got so much to do today. All right, so we've got the TV show recording this afternoon, Sia, and I've got a couple of meetings through the course of the day, but it's Monday. It's going to be rainy. It's going to be overcast, so find a way to fit in like an afternoon nap or something if you can. Tell everybody you've got a very important online meeting at 4 o'clock and then have a doo-doos. That's the way to do things.
Hopefully you don't have to accept any Christmas Zoom parties.
No, for God's sake, that would be the worst. Yeah. And if there's going to be an office party that's on Zoom, just, you know what, say your video stopped working. I mean, that's no one should have to be put through that shit. Have a happy day, everybody. We will see you tomorrow bright and early at 6 o'clock, and behave yourself. If you've got any interesting or useful information for us, you can always email us, gareth@cliffcentral.com, and we'll check in with you tomorrow at 6, bright and early. Be good. cliffcentral.com